You were listening to the 1 Million Cups of Appleton. We are a group designed to educate, engage, and inspire entrepreneurs in central Wisconsin and beyond.
We're really excited to have a remote company, distributed company, I'll say, here with us today. It's copilot.team, and we have Tim, Doug, and Steven with us. Welcome, guys. Thanks for being here today, and I'll let you guys take it over.
Thanks, Andrew. I would wholly echo this. If there were other entrepreneurs on the call that were creating things, right now is the best time to be getting in front of and getting feedback from so many people, given the openness to the virtual nature of 1 Million Cups. I mean, I remember previously there was a slight, you know, like not really, you certainly had to be in person, right? And they really wanted you to be local, you know, like, and there's still some groups that are like that. So right now is a wonderful time. So thank you guys so much for having us here. And I will say we have one person, Stephen, who lives in Appleton. So we do have someone local on top of that. So let me share my screen and then I will go into present mode. And I'll just do a quick audio check. Can you guys see the whole? Okay, great. All right, great. So I'll just get going. I'm excited to talk to you guys today about Copilot. It's a software tool that helps managers become better coaches. And most interesting for me is helping get answers to some of the following questions. So here's what I'd like you to be mindful of as I'm going through Copilot. There are some non-tech industries that we believe that this would work for, but our experience mainly resides in tech and some services, but like 80%, 90% technology, some technology, hardware, software combinations. But we'll talk about some of those industries. So if you've got thoughts on it or know someone who has more experience in the industry, we're looking to continue the understanding of the applicability of those industries. Related to the go-to-market strategy, we'll go through what that looks like, but a lot of it is around communicating and getting to know incubators, accelerators, outside services firm that have a different service they provide, but to a similar market segment. So adjacent service providers are helpful for us as we help the market. And then 3 and 4 are around user adoption. So what might you see as people who are using software products or have created software products? Do you see user adoption issues? The fourth thing, Copilot spun out of a consulting company. And as such, we always provided manual services in conjunction with the software. So we're sensitive to the idea that providing the software in and of itself might not be sufficient, right? Software in and of itself can't solve the problem. It can help, and I'll show you how it's helping, but we're sensitive to how to position optional coaching services or consulting services. So like I said, Copilot spun out of a company, consulting company called Scale Up On Demand. It started about 5 years ago. And as we had more success, both delivering revenue operations and sales leadership, we had to create our own internal methodology for being consistent with helping our managers identify which sales individuals needed the coaching, where to help coach them, and then what activities to help them with. So that's the origin of Copilot, is the internal necessity to provide consistency in those three areas. We saw consistent impact to the business between 30 and 50%. I say 30%, some individuals improving much more. And the core of what Copilot does is it leverages statistical analyses to provide these recommendations and to strip away the bias from the forecasting process. Both of these are novel. You certainly will ask questions around, well, what the competitors are. We can get into that later on. But I would say that both of these things are novel in how we highlight each individual's weakness and remove bias. So in addition to our experiences, you can reference, or we're referencing here, Gartner and Miller Hyman, some common groups that would do research. Can you hold on 1 second? I'm getting some background noise over here. 1 second.
Do Please stand by.
Sorry. I apologize. So Miller-Heim and Gartner both can help us understand the impact of this problem, how big of a problem it is. It's clear, and you might know your own experiences, right? If you've been an individual contributor, have friends, a frontline manager is promoted into being a manager. They were previously an individual contributor. They walk into that first or second or third or 10th or 20th meeting that they're having with them on a one-to-one basis. And they're asking, how can I help you? Or what are you going to, how are you going to land this month? Those naturally will then bring in bias into the equation. I think I need help here. I think this is where I'm going to land. It's not conducive for optimizing their effectiveness. It's not conducive for getting better, right? And these are statistics that are come out of lots of studies that they have. So the impact of this problem is quite big. So it gives us confidence to know that the impact that we saw at scale up using this can be transitioned to many, many more groups. The way that I would pull something that might be easily understood by many people is in the book Moneyball, or in that movie Moneyball, getting on base is part of the equation, right? They want to strip away belief and bias to allow more and more people to get on base. And that's what we're doing at the core of Copilot. So we'll talk about some of the, we're going to go through quickly the product so that you can get an understanding of what it looks like. Certainly this is an application that has more functions and features than we'll be able to show here. But the first thing that an individual sees is of all their stages in their funnel on the left side, of all their stages, which of the stages is the most important one for them to work on? So by ingesting the data from the CRM, we're dependent on the CRM data, we can determine which of their stages is most important. So that instead of working on all of your stages, you just work on the one that has the biggest return on the time that you could invest in there. Now we can help you see where you compared all your individuals and over the course of time, how are you improving or declining that particular stage? So on the bottom, now we're going to marry one of the uniquenesses here is that we're marrying activities or content related to skills, sales skills that are most predominantly demonstrated in your weakest stage. So if the manager and the individual are working on an engaging stage, here are five, I've sort of blown it up a little bit. Here are five skills that they might want to work on. So now the manager and individual can focus in on one of these or two of these over the next 2 to 4 weeks as they're working together or as the individual works on their own. And what sits behind that is reference to why this is important, how to improve. The activities that sit behind it, you can see on the left side, it's a 1 to 2 hour activity that they could go through that with prompts about what to do to be reflective. All these are meant to be short, consumable, reflective. The individual can do them on their own. They're not dependent on the manager. The manager is not responsible for creating all this stuff. And then there's content that's curated, either created by Copilot, ScaleUp, or as you can see right here, SalesLoft and other organizations that have created content. The other aspect adjacent to getting better as an individual in your sales skills, we mentioned the forecast and stripping away bias. So we're asking them for a low and a high number. Where are you going to sit in a range over the next 3 months? As we do that 4 or 5 times, our confidence in understanding their tendencies, whether or not they're overly confident or whether they tend to be a sandbagger or overly optimistic, we can determine that. We surface that to them as educational, but most importantly, we leverage that with what's called Monte Carlo simulation to get a little bit nerdy, Monte Carlo simulation to determine where they're probably going to land. So whereas before, and traditionally, you ask an individual, tell me where you're going to land, and they give you a commit and an upside and these very specific numbers, we're giving ranges around probabilities of where you're going to land based off of calibrating around an individual. Very new. It's meant to be complementary. I'm not asking sales leaders to displace the current way that they forecast. I'm not trying to buck that. And I'm not even changing any behavior. All I'm doing is providing a complementary approach to how they're viewing their forecast now to give them more confidence. So from pricing and addressable market, you can see on the right side, these are some of the industries bolded out that I'm interested in having more conversations with. You can see there's a consistency with all these. They all these people run an A to B process, right? They run a linear process. Staffing, they're trying to close an account to staff jobs, or they're trying to recruit someone and go through the recruiting process to place them. It's A, B, C, D, E. There are steps in their sales process. They run all this through a CRM. Same thing for real estate, financial planners, insurance agents. There are some markets that I've never been in operationally or sales. I've only been a consumer of that are interesting now to us, which is also interesting from a product perspective because we're not narrowly focused on tech. On the left side, as I mentioned, we're curious about how to marry this with consulting services. We're going to do a per user per month pricing. Analytics is the reading of that data, just the data that's being read out. The enablement is all the activities and content, and the forecasting are all separate. So we're not meant to, I'm trying to keep the option of them having a low per user per month, and then they could elect to use the activities and content. They could elect to use forecasting if they wanted to. From an acquisition strategy perspective, there are partners that we work with. We provide webinars and free content to educate earlier stage companies, pre-Series A, Series A companies, about how to incorporate sales operations and sales management and sales development in an effective way with the tap capital and the time that they have. So we work with them. We provide free content. The intention is then to develop a relationship later on and to then, you know, provide services or co-pilot. We have now started getting some social proof. We were on Product Hunt homepage last week, and we have a unique profit sharing model where all of the profits we generate are distributed to our team. So we're intending to leverage a unique referral partner profit sharing model to work with local sales consultants so that they might be able to win more opportunities because they have a unique differentiator now. And then they might be able to provide consistent and higher value to their clients that they work with by using Copilot. So I'll just bring up the challenges and asks that I showed at the beginning, and we can talk about this. So thank you guys so much. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Doug. That's awesome. Appreciate your presentation and everything. We'll open it up for questions. Anyone wants to get started? I guess I would, as the first question, Doug, could you just walk us through once in really simple terms, like who your customer is and how they interface with your product?
Yeah, the manager and individual contributor, so the frontline manager who's managing an account executive or a sales development representative or a customer success person, those individuals would see their own data on a probably once every 2 weeks basis because they don't need to be looking at their data any more frequent than that. And in a goal planning session, either by themselves or with the manager, so say a one-on-one that they might have, the idea is that the manager and individual can look at the individual's data and then can discuss where they would want to focus training, recognizing that you can't ask them to consume 5-10 hours a week of training. The individual might log back in at some point in between a one-on-one or a goal planning session and then work on an activity and go through that exercise. So those are the two users that I see predominantly using this.
Got it. Okay, that's super helpful. And so basically you have the training content built in that you can buy. So they aren't building their own training content for their organization. Your system's like learning them as a salesperson or as a manager and then offering pre-built learning content.
Yeah, certainly we could introduce content if they were much larger that they had already built. But the idea is that some organizations haven't yet built it. They don't know fundamentally the right exercise and activity and content. So we've brought it all together and then simply connect the dot between what their weakest areas and which content they need to be looking at.
Cool. If anyone has any questions, I could keep going, but we have a hive of brains and minds here.
I'll ask a question. So you at the beginning of the presentation, you're talking about how you're taking an employee's data doing analytics on it to find their weakest point and what they need to improve on. So now, is Copilot like a software that all of these people are going to work in, and that's how the data is getting there? Or is Copilot somehow pulling this data from other existing platforms that they might be working in?
Yeah, I did not want them working in there to enter in information they've already entered in our system. So what we're doing is we are agnostic to different CRMs. We have an integration with CRMs like Salesforce or HubSpot, and then it extracts their data and then runs the algorithms against that. Alternatively, we could upload a report. You know, if they're using a CRM that we haven't yet integrated with, or for some reason that CRM is not going to allow it, then we can allow for a report to be uploaded just the same.
Gotcha.
We got two questions from Marcus in the chat here. I'll read them to you. So first question from Marcus, what are three mistakes some startups make when starting your program? And then secondly, before starting your program, what are some questions maybe people should ask themselves?
Mistakes that they do is that they are not committed to reviewing where opportunities reside in a funnel. They tend to put things in a stage or multiple stages, and they're not diligent about progressing them through. So for example, you might have a founder and another sales rep, and the founder gets happy about deals in the funnel, and they're not diligent about assigning it to be the right stage. So stage 1, 2, or 3. So if you don't do that, your bias that you're engineering is confirmation bias that you want them to be good deals, and you're not moving them into the right stage, which doesn't allow us to determine where the weak point is. It'll just have everything in a particular stage. That's one mistake that generally they have. That's the biggest mistake, is not being consistent with assigning the stage. I don't think there's other mistakes really. That's the biggest one.
Hey, that's good. I mean, three, you know, you don't have to go with three, but that's good to know. And then with the second question, you know, what are some questions that people can ask themselves before starting?
The questions that they should ask themselves is, are they truly wanting to support each individual in a dynamic way, or do they just want sales? Because if you approach this where you just want sales and you don't participate in the individual nature of it, you don't support them, then you're asking the tool to just solve your problem for you. And you're not playing a role with them where you're reviewing, say, Marcus, if you're in there, we're not reviewing Marcus's data together. If you're not participating in that process, then I think they shouldn't be using it. So they should be asking themselves, am I willing to participate and support each individual? That's what they should be asking.
Well,
can I add something to that real quick, Doug? I'll say this as well, and this is something I bring up all the time. It's that when a lot of organizations, especially executives, sales executives in organizations, they'll often say that the most important like attribute that they're looking for in managers is good coaches. But in reality, a lot of times sales executives don't hire for that, and they also don't give a manager the opportunity to be a good coach, because so much of the manager's job is to help get deals over the line, as well as report metrics up to the executive level. You know, whether it's forecasting, whether it's projections, deal updates, what have you. So oftentimes coaching gets lost when the rubber meets the road, if you will. So a mistake that companies will make is you know, are you truly committed to fostering a healthy coaching environment within your organization to assist managers to be better coaches and to allow for individual contributors to be more coachable. I think companies oftentimes, it's like the North Star, what they say, hey, we want to foster a good coaching environment, but it just doesn't happen in reality. And what we're trying to do is give them a roadmap in a lot of ways to solve that. And then over time, you know, we'll see certainly improvement within organizations. But I think what we see a lot of times is that they want to do it, but they don't know how to do it. And they often don't they don't give themselves an environment to have coaching be a real key component of their sales and sales management process.
Awesome.
I can go with a question if you, I'm curious, you said that an important part of it is that at the beginning you said coaching just isn't happening enough. So I can see with your software how giving them this data that says this is what an employee or a sales agent, whatever, has to focus on to become better at their job, you should be coaching them on this. I can see that, but is there anything built in there to just simply, because I feel like a big part of it is that managers are just constantly pushing off coaching because they have other things more important at that point in time to do. Does this system have anything built in where it's sending out like a notification to a manager and saying, hey, this person is really struggling in this and you should really sit down and coach them on this, you know, to kind of drive the manager to do more coaching and not put off coaching as a point. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it certainly does. Sorry, go ahead, Doug.
Okay. Yeah. The there is a series of notifications. Also there's a page for the manager where they can see in sort of a couple different ways. There's a health bar chart. And so the axis of the bar chart is how much of an opportunity resides in each person. So they can immediately see that Katie has about $30,000 per month missing out on their weakest stage. And then Bailey has 15,000 and then Shane is 8,000. So that's one way. And then the other one is a traditional histogram. And so in both ways, they can immediately see the size of the problem with each individual so that they can know where they want to be spending their time. And in a situation, Eric, where they are have an aversion to coaching and they don't say it, or they've just have other things to do, the individual is enabled to do the activities themselves and to review the content themselves. So there's a recognition subtly that managers might have an aversion that they don't state. They feel uncomfortable with it. They have a relationship with that individual. They were an individual contributor. Now they're managing that person and they don't like the confrontation. Maybe, I don't know. There's a handful of things. Or they have to be providing forecasts and they need to be doing late stage deal support. The myriad other things, not myriad, you know, but the five other things that they feel are more important or their VP of sales thinks is more important. And so the intention is to identify who you have to help, who's got the biggest opportunity. And if you want to help them, great, right? But if you don't have the time or don't feel like you have the time, the activities and content reside inside of the product for the individual to do themselves.
Cool. Does anybody else have questions out there?
Anyone have thoughts on the other industries that we mentioned that we're not familiar with?
It might help to pop that slide back up if you can with those industries on there. I know it was like financial advisors and
something I'll say. So I recently was introduced to a sales I don't quite know what you would call them. Maybe it's like a mastermind group, kind of, but it's called Sales Assembly, based out of Chicago. And you know, when you were presenting about kind of this tool, I see Sales Assembly as being a bunch of either chief revenue officers, director of sales. That's kind of like who they gather together, and they have offerings that also include include like continuing education and professional development for sales professionals in an organization. So they kind of like you join sales assembly, and then when you join as a company, they have like monthly topics, things that your salespeople in your company can then have access to. And I guess I say this because I don't know if you've heard of them or if part of your growth plan or entry market is partnering with groups like them, but I see what they do to be different than what you guys do, but kind of similar. And I wonder if like, if you got with organizations like them who are well connected with a bunch of, you know, bunch of the decision makers that are inside of organizations regarding sales, maybe it would be a good partnership for you guys. But the company I know of, or the group that I know of, is called Sales Assembly out of Chicago. I don't know them too well, so I wouldn't necessarily be able to make an intro, but I guess I'm curious to know what your thoughts are about partnering with a group that kind of has a different approach, but you know, is going after kind of the same kind of thing as professional development for salespeople.
Yeah, great. Thank you for bringing that up. That is one of our partners that we're aiming to have. I know some of the leaders over there. And so what I'm doing is developing a workshop, hour session for managers. They aim to educate managers about how to be better managers. So there's actually not really much of a conflicting overlap in terms of what this is providing, because this is really aimed at the individuals.
Sure.
To be better. And so it's a great opportunity. And what's good about them versus some other organizations that are building communities to help people, some communities make you pay to then go deliver content that you've developed, whereas Sales Assembly is not, right? Their business model wants the best content in there, and they're going to be diligent about being sort of a good steward about what comes in, whereas other groups say make you pay to enter, which is, I get it, right? But it's a bit conflicting with the receiver of the content. So thank you for bringing that up.
I will say I met with one of their co-founders like 2 weeks ago, Mike, and he was a really impressive guy, or maybe it was Matt. Mike was the guy that referred me to him. Mike, Matt, whatever. But yeah, he was a really impressive guy, and it seems like their organization is helping a lot of people with just developing a better sales team and engine. So cool. Yeah, any other questions or comments from the crowd here?
Well, I can say about the different markets that you're looking at here. So if I understand this right, you're currently mostly servicing tech companies, and you're looking at going into these bolded markets, correct?
Yep.
And to me, just looking at that list really quick, I would tell you that I think the ones you're looking at going to, from what I understand of what you're doing, make more sense than the tech one. So just because all of those industries have such a large, huge market of independent sales agent, which I'm sure many tech companies do as well, but those seem like primary markets that this would work ideally for. The only thing I see with it is, how does it work with, because like most real estate agents are very independent. I maybe I don't understand how those markets work, but do they have direct, I don't know, like regional representatives that they, I assume they do, but I assume at the same time that's not something where they regularly sit down and have meetings or, you know, one-on-one trainings with each other, you know, because it is a much more, you know, independent type business.
My understanding, and this is where I need to confirm it, my understanding is that there are brokerages or agencies, financial, insurance, or real estate, that are a single person, or there might be a group that has 5, 10, 20, 50, 100. And as you get into insurance and financial plan insurance, they're much larger houses. They operate inside of it, and it's very isolated and siloed. You don't get a lot of, the span of control of manager to individual can be 1 to 40, 1 to 50. So you don't get a lot of time on your development. And so the intention is to recognize that. And I would agree that it could be that the opportunity is bigger in those areas than in tech. It mm-hmm. could be.
And I think that your focus would be on making it much more self-directed coaching as opposed to manager in sales rep coaching.
You got it.
So.
You got it. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this is awesome. Now I actually just thought, so like for you, a good introduction, like, are you looking for intros or connections to people in these industries? Like if you could chat with someone in insurance, like you'd be interested in those kind of connections? Is that?
Yeah. If the person works at an agency or a firm or a brokerage that has, let's say, more than 5 people or 10 people, that starts to get into where Eric was saying a self-directed approach, right? They've got a number of people in there that they can then respond and say, we could walk through the product and go, okay, I could see it. I can see we're missing some pieces of content that are specific to us presenting 3 financial premium, you know, like 3 financial plans. We don't have that in here, but if you had that, this could be used by them as individuals. So it's like validating that it might serve them. Those are the types of introductions. And then the other type of introduction would be if there are local sales consultants or financial outsourced of finance accounting agencies in Appleton and the surrounding areas to check to see if they, as we understand, they might see benefit in using it in their engagement that they have.
Yeah, cool. So I have a guy who's part of actually a local networking group that Eric and I head up that actually just joined me. He's like the regional director of basically recruits sales, independent sales agents for a big life insurance company in town.
Yeah, that's perfect. Because, you know, mm-hmm. the thing about the recruiting is they have to go recruit people, right? They're running their own sales process to recruit people. They've got hundreds and hundreds of people that they're trying to recruit to get in. And then once they get them in there, they have a period of time, 6 to 9 months to be successful. So they're in the insurance and financial planning, they're running large volumes on the funnel to come in and then their sales funnel. So that's like, it's like both sides. There's like the recruiting hiring process, and then there's the sales process.
Yeah. So I'll make this intro. His name's Billy. And right. I'll follow up on that. Yeah. Cool. All right, guys. Well, hey, if there's any other questions, feel free to kind of chime in. Otherwise, I'll always the last question with 1 million cubs, which you've answered, I think, already, but it's just, you know, what can we do to help you? If you just kind of want to recap that.
Yeah. Thank you. I love 1 million cups. I love talking with all these people. And like you said, Angie, at the beginning, the ability to do this virtually is accelerating people's, you know, sort of iterating and evolving their understanding and getting product market fit. So first off, thank you, 1 million cups, and you guys for being open to have us. And as you think about how to help as an extension persisting beyond that, if you have a friend or a person that is involved with an outsourced accounting group or a sales consultant or in one of these industries that's related to the recruiting or training of people, I'd love to chat with them to get their thoughts on the product.
Cool.
We did just have one more question pop up in the chat for you. So the question is, what do you like most about what you're doing?
The thing I like most about it is allowing individuals or founders to have a better chance at reaching out beyond the noise. And so it's a function of knowing being cognizant of where they can improve or where they should be focusing their time on so that they get a better opportunity to get through the noise. So on the founder side, there's a lot, it's a challenging piece, right? The founders are doing a lot of things. So I like giving founders an opportunity to break through. And the same thing goes in an individual who doesn't have the right support structure internally. I like giving them a better opportunity to be more successful. That's the earnest reason why we started this.
Really cool. Awesome. Well, hey, again, thanks for your presentation today and for joining us all the way from South Carolina. Awesome. Yeah, and thanks everyone in the crowd today for coming. Reminder, this is a weekly event, so we hope to see you down the road too. We try to keep the funnel full. So also, if you know of any entrepreneurs, startups in the area or not in the area that want to get their message out, please refer our way. Great. Thanks so much, guys. Awesome learning about your business today, and I appreciate your time.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
See you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this week's speaker, and thank you for your continued support of 1 Million Cups and our community of entrepreneurs.